This is the Full Press NBA Podcast.
Here's Michael at the foul line. A shot on Elo. Good! The Bulls win!
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It's off! Oh, my goodness!
Presented by Sportscaster.com and distributed by Snowman Digital Media.
Here's Carnes. Let's one go from center court.
He got it!
So I kind of heard something that, you know, Arsenio Hall had a segment that said things that make you go, Well, to borrow from that, I heard something that made me go, what? I feel like Joe Beningo, what? What I heard was, when the NBA does return, they plan on starting with the playoffs. What the hell is wrong with you? You're going to go right to the playoffs when a very dangerous situation, let's not make light of it, essentially killed a big part of a season. You're going to miss the playoff push. You're going to miss the teams that are fighting even harder than ever to stay in the playoff hunt. All kinds of stuff. You can't do anything about that. But you can be smart about it and say, why don't we give these players about 10 games? That's all. Let's give them about 10 games to get their legs under them, to get used to their teammates again, to get used to the atmosphere again, the arenas, because everything's closed. Everything has been postponed. Workouts, everything, practice facilities closed. Everything in the NBA shut down until this coronavirus pandemic passes or ends. Hopefully the latter and not the former. If you are in your home right now and you're listening to this show, A, thank you, and B, continue to take care of yourself. But let's just give them 10 games, okay? And something else that I heard on First Take, God, don't ask me why I actually watched that show recently, you know, being home, not being able to go to work and all. Don't ask me why First Take was in my ears and in my eyes. That show makes me hurt. But a very valid point was brought up during First Take. And it's a point that has basically brought the sports world to a halt. Money. A nugget of information that I was given. The magic number is 70. And no, I'm not talking about wins in a season. I'm talking about games being played. According to a few sources, and according to what the folks said on First Take, and with my producer Shane Lake, who was researching this for me, 70 games is the magic number for all the teams to get the local broadcast money, the local television money. Well, some of these teams haven't played 70 games yet. So if you bring them back and give them 10 games, and give them the chance to get everything under them, to get all of their faculties together, then not only do you get that money, but, you know, you have a good lead into the playoffs. Because, this is the cynical part of me, the TV stations are hoping the season is canceled so they don't have to pay out that money. If it's a chance for them to keep the money, yeah, they're going to try to keep it. But at the same time, you got a lot of players itching to get back on the floor. But you want to do it safely. Let's just be real. You want to do it safely. You want to make sure the players are in a safe spot, a comfortable spot, and a good spot where they can get back on the floor and resume their playing careers. But 70 games is the target for all of the teams to get the local television money. You know how much that, you know what that means to all of the small markets like Milwaukee, like Oklahoma City. God forgive me for saying that. It means a lot. It means an infusion to the NBA. It means one hell of an infusion of cash to the NBA. So, not only am I hoping that basketball comes back so I can see the Lakers fail to win the championship. Oh, did I say that aloud? I'm sorry. I'm kidding as I say that. But, you know, have everything in a good spot also. Have everything in a good spot and give them the 10 games to get themselves together. The 10 games are going to be very important, to say the least. Again, physically, it allows them to get their legs under them. It allows them to get used to the floor again, because this is a long layoff. This is an absolute long layoff. Okay? So whenever they do get it together, let's get them in the same, let's get them, if we can't get them in the same speed or close to it that they were before everything shut down, then let's get them to a good spot where they can pick everything back up and try to make it better. Let's just do that. But I say 10 games is going to be very important for the players to get themselves back together. You want to know something crazy, folks? Ever since I moved from Indiana to North Carolina with my family, I've met some great, great people. And last week I had Miles Clark on, who was a former Eagle, North Carolina Central. And now I have his teammate on. Say hello to Charles Whitfield. He joins me now on the other side of the hotline. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
I'm doing terrific. It's great to meet you, and it's great to talk to you.
My pleasure. It's my total pleasure. And anybody that is a friend of my teammate, Miles Clark, is now a friend of mine, and my pleasure to join you on your radio show.
I really appreciate it. What was it like with you and Miles playing at North Carolina Central? And this is back in the 80s when you guys were in Division II before you guys made the jump to D1.
Exactly. Now, it was a beautiful thing. Miles is a couple years older than myself, so he was like a big brother to me. And when I first came in as a freshman at North Carolina Central, I played basketball in Greensboro at Greensboro Page High School. And once I got to Central, you know, as you are in high school, when you're the man and or one of the men on your team, when you get to college, you're back up the low man on the total pole again. And as a freshman, that's exactly where I was. And I had a couple guys like Miles, a couple other teammates. One of our teammates is a brother named Cleo Hill, Jr., who's now the head coach at Winston-Salem State. So he was another one of my big brothers, and another brother named Wayne Howell, who, you know, all three of those guys kind of almost adopted me as their little brother. And the experience was great. And to be able to be in practice and learn from those guys. And the beautiful thing is, after college, you know, I graduated in college in 1991, and it's now 2020. But the beautiful thing is, we're all still connected and we're still friends. You know, all of my teammates, we share a group text with about 20 of us. And every day, one of our teammates, who now is a minister, sends us out of scripture every day. And, you know, we're able to just communicate with each other. So whether, you know, unfortunately, we've had a couple teammates who passed away over the years, but when someone has a birthday or when something good happens in each other's lives, with the simple click of a text, you know, we're able to stay looped in. And Miles was always great on the court. He was a great basketball player. He was a great leader, but he was a great person. And the beautiful thing is, you know, with what we're going through now, with this, you know, coronavirus pandemic, you know, everyone has nothing but time. And through it, you're able to stay connected or reconnect with new friends such as yourself.
And it's been absolutely great to connect with you, to connect with Miles Clark and everyone I've had a chance to connect with. You were not only a basketball player, but you were also into music, which led to you getting into radio. And I read in your bio while folks were getting into Kool Moe Dee and those guys, you were into George Benson.
Exactly. I grew up listening to jazz with the older brother. I'm 50 years old. If I can make it two more days, I'll be 51. Celebrate my birthday on March the 30th. But I have an older brother who's 10 years older than me, who, as most people know, if you have a brother or older sibling, you want to hang out with them. And that was my dream, was to just hang out and ride with him. And as I would ride around town with him, with us having a 10-year age gap, I was listening to a lot of jazz that he listened to, whether it was David Sanborn, whether it was George Benson, whether it was Miles Davis. And don't get me wrong, you also listened to a lot of early, a lot of R&B. This was in the late 70s, early 80s. So whether it was SOS Band or Michael Jackson or Prince. So I really, credit a lot of, my music knowledge to my brother, because at the time I didn't know it, but I was actually, riding around listening to music with him, and which would eventually turn into a job. Not only working in radio, but prior to me working in radio, I actually helped start a record label called Hidden Beach Records that actually Jill Scott was the first artist that I worked with, that actually through my brother and a close family friend being Michael Jordan, he actually became the majority investor in Hidden Beach. So at the end of the day, through relationships was how I ended up getting my job in the music business, and I've been in it 25 plus years and blessed to be in a business doing something I truly love every day. But through sports, a lot of relationships I met through sports, between sports and entertainment, as we all know, all entertainers want to be tied into sports, and all sports athletes want to be tied in with musicians.
True.
And so the beautiful thing is I've been blessed through a lot of close relationships to be blessed to have my foot in both. And it's nothing that I ever take for granted. And it's a blessing. And I try and touch as many young people as I can to help pass down some of the knowledge and wisdom I've received over the years through some of my mentors. And to me, it's all about paying it forward.
Yeah, it is. And I try to do the same with my radio show and my media company, Snowman Digital Media, that I just started at the top of this year. And you
okay,
just mentioned,
congratulations on that.
Thank you. And you just mentioned the player who I watch the most, which is Michael Jordan. And before him, it was Julius Erving. And here is where I differ from a lot of folks that I talk to today in terms of basketball. When they ask me who my favorite player is, and I say Michael Jordan without blinking, at the same time, I'm not oblivious to the folks who paved the way for Michael Jordan, like a Julius Erving, like a Magic Johnson, like a Larry Bird. Hell, one of my favorite point guards played with Philadelphia, and that was Maurice Cheeks, fellow Chicagoan.
Nope, I grew up, without even knowing your age, we sound like we're in the same generation. And the one thing I can tell you, I met Michael when I was 15, and I'm 50, soon to be 51, and he's like another big brother to me. And as I tell people, we actually met him when he was in high school. My brother used to be an assistant coach at a small school in North Carolina called Campbell University.
Yeah.
And they used to have a pretty prestigious basketball camp. And my brother was working on his master's degree. He played at Campbell, but he was a grad assistant. And when Michael was in high school, Michael came and played with a lot of the ACC players who used to come down and play. And that's where we first met him. And he and my brother just got a click and got a bond and stayed connected. And as I tell people, how close are he and Michael really are? One, they've been in business 25, 30 years. My brother is fortunately the president of the Charlotte Hornets. But when Michael's dad passed away, my brother and a few of Michael's close friends were pallbearers.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, that's all you need to know what that relationship is
Absolutely.
About. So not only have they do business together where, my brother helps oversee all of the business side of the Charlotte Hornets, Michael's family. And so at the end of the day, when I've been around, but to your point, Michael paid homage to a lot of the guys like a Dr. J, guys like Larry Bird and Magic who were there before him, but also he was one that paid it forward. And
yes.
Unfortunately, with what's happened with the recent passing of Kobe Bryant, Kobe was a little brother to Michael. And
he
if you looked at how Kobe played his game on the court and his tenacity and even what he started doing off the court, a lot of what he did was what he learned in from Michael.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were really, really close. And, you know, anyone who saw Kobe's memorial service and saw that genuine emotion from MJ, that was real, because he truly did lose someone that was a little brother to him. And at the end of the day, but he also always made homage to all those that were before him, the Magics, the Birds, the Bobby Joneses of the world, Moses
yes.
Malone, George Gervin. Michael was a true historian of the game. And
mm-hmm.
that's why I've been blessed to be around him and sometimes just sit and have real basketball conversations with one of the best. And to your point, when anybody asks me who's the best player that I saw play, it's MJ. Like you,
period.
Without question.
Period.
But I wasn't around when Wilt Chamberlain played or
right.
Bill Russell. You know,
right.
I would see or you know, all of the old greats, Clyde Frazier. But I'm a historian of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But to now see how, you know, I have an 8-year-old daughter who goes with me to all the Hornets games, and you know, she first met MJ watching Space Jam.
Nice.
And so at the end of the day, you know, her contemporaries are LeBron. You know,
mm-hmm.
are the players, are Dwayne Wade. And, you know, the funny thing is her favorite player right now is Kobe White. And so at the end, I know she's truly my daughter because, you know, she's picking up the game because she's, you know, basically grown up going to Hornets games or Bobcats games when she was born.
Right.
But she grew up in the arena with me. And so literally it's nothing better than seeing your kid, and fortunately, you know, I didn't have a son, because if I had a son, I'm sure I'd be wanting to play AAU. But having a daughter and seeing her, my daughter, that's me and her date night, is going with me to Hornets games. And my wife is totally content, not that she doesn't like basketball, but she knows that's a good time. And what's crazy, what we've been dealing with this coronavirus, literally, you know, you can sit there at NBA TV and watch old classic games. And so, but, you know, my daughter will go on YouTube, and she knows how to go on and find some classic MJ games to look at. And so I'm truly, you know, I'm like, you're definitely my daughter. Because at the end, basketball, you know, one, teaches you a lot about business. It teaches you a lot about life. It teaches you a lot about relationships. And that's the one thing, you know, even how we connected through my teammate, Miles Clark, when you reached out to me and was like, hey, I met you, the first email you sent me was, hey, your teammate Miles Clark told me to reach out to you. And to me, I knew you were good just once on the premise that you and Miles had connected. And
yep.
at the end of the day, that's the one thing that sports can do. It continually connects dots for you. You know, Miles and I have not played basketball at Central. I graduated in 1991. You know, we have not, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
guess what? We're still connected. Yeah, it was a few years that we lost contact, as a lot of people do. But
yeah.
the beautiful thing is, we were talking prior to your to our starting the interview, with social media, it's been able to reconnect some dots back. And you're able to, you know, see pictures from back when, you know, when they won the championship in 89, or,
yep.
you know, see different things that were highlights in our life and, you know, 30 years ago, but
right.
they're still important. And through that, the relationships are still there. And that's the one thing, you know, I credit social media can be great sometimes, and social media cannot be great. But
true.
The one thing that it has been able to do, it has been able to connect people together, and one, keep people connected and make new relationships, just like me and yourself literally just connected a week and a half ago
yep.
through Miles. And, you know, you reached out to me saying, hey, could you come in and get on my radio show? And I said, without question, because I met you through a good friend of mine. And so, you know, and like I said, right now, unfortunately, and in some ways, fortunately, we got time right now.
Yeah.
So, like I said, I appreciate you, you know, asking me to get on. I've had a pretty unique journey, you know, after college to get into the music business, to follow my dream and passion. And part of what I do is, you know, I find other young students. I'm on the board of visitors at North Carolina Central University, where we went to school, and I go and speak there probably two or three times a year to different students, whether a school of business students, whether some athletes, or, you know, whether some music students. And so part of you know, the upbringing I've gotten through both my parents is you got to pay it forward, because if you don't, then to me, that's almost paying rent for your time on earth, is making sure you help others be better.
Yeah.
And that's what I truly believe.
And that's so, and that is so, so true. I've inspired, from what folks have told me, I've inspired so many broadcasters with my journey. And mm-hmm. I listened to Jim Durham call Bulls games for many years. And I just had a simple philosophy. If he could do it, I could do it. And I've had so many people ask me, you know, how'd you get into the business? How'd you use your degree to get in the business? Well, this is what shocks a lot of people. I don't have a broadcasting degree. I just got 25 years of experience listening to different announcers, Jim Durham being one. Of course, today's announcers, Kevin Harlan, Marv Albert, quite a few others, Joe Tate from the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I used to listen to Jim Durham because I lived in North Carolina. We used to get WGN.
Yeah.
So I used to listen to him and Big Red and Johnny Red Kerr. And at the end of the day, Stuart Scott was a good friend of mine. And so one, he didn't necessarily call games, but the way he made, you know, broadcasting or telling highlights on SportsCenter cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so Stuart was a good friend. James Brown from CBS is a mentor of mine. But, you know, Mike Hill that worked on ESPN and now works on Fox is a friend.
Yep.
So, like I said, fortunately, you know, I've been blessed over the years to, you know, meet a lot of these guys, and they've ended up becoming good friends. Grant Hill was one of my good friends who now is in broadcasting. But he and I were in Durham at the same time when he was at Duke.
Right.
And I'm a little bit older than him, but I actually worked in showing how music connects you. I was working at a record store or CD store in Durham, not too far from Duke, kind of in the middle between Duke and North Carolina Central.
Yeah.
That it was in 1989 when CDs were really popular. And Grant Hill, Bobby Hurley, and Thomas Hill, all three guys came into my CD store, and I helped wait on them. They came in asking about some music, and I waited on them. And from that one interaction, the three of us ended up becoming friends. And to this day, all three of us are still friends. And
that's
so
great.
Seeing what Grant was able to do on the court, but then it translated into the business world where he's a minority owner of the Atlanta Hawks. But mm-hmm. in addition, he's a broadcaster. And so it's been a beautiful thing to just make these good relationships and sustain them. And a lot of blessings I've had in my life always end up tending to fall back to sports. And that's, you know, I started playing basketball when I was 6 years old in the YMCA prior to it was even AAU basketball.
Right.
And to this day, a lot of my same friends that I played basketball with on my first team when I was 6 years old, we're still friends.
Beautiful. See, friendships like that are few and far between, and friendships like that you want to keep because you grew up with those guys. They know you as well as you know them.
And we stay connected, and the beautiful thing is through social media and through, you know, group texts, and, you know, we're able to stay connected, and, you know, we've, you know, saw our kids grow up, and, you know, unfortunately, when, you know, one of our parents unfortunately passes away, or, mm-hmm. you know, on or another relative, we're always being able to be there for each other. And that's at the end of the day what life's about. And, you know, what we're dealing with right now with this coronavirus is something, you know, none of us have ever seen.
Yeah.
So, one, you know, all I do is can, you know, I have a wife and an 8-year-old daughter, and I'm trying to keep my family safe. And my mom, who's 88 years old and an independent living community about 10 minutes from me, we haven't been able to see her for a week and a half because they've had them on quarantine.
Yeah.
But at the end, we moved my parents down here from Greensboro to Charlotte just so we could be closer to them. And
right.
unfortunately, April of 2018, my father passed away, but he was 88 years old, and they lived been married 64 years. So at the end of the day, he lived a good life. But, you know, we wanted to get my mom down here so we could help sustain her quality of life. And, you know, she loved basketball, used to go to all of our games, and now she does not miss a Hornets game. So at the end of the day, you know, we're able to give her something to look forward to. And that's why even, you know, I talked to her prior to me calling in to this interview, and she was doing just what I'm doing, sitting at home watching NBA TV, looking at classic NBA games. Because really, it's nothing else to really do.
Right.
You know, And right. So, but that's where, you know, but my mom was a first grade school teacher for 30 years in Greensboro, and my dad worked in the postal service. So they were both, you know, hardworking and taught us as a family, you know, how to care about each other and how to always give back. And me and my brother have both been fortunate through our careers to be in a position to help others. My brother does a basketball camp called Achievements Unlimited that mm-hmm. this will be the 36th year of the camp.
Beautiful.
He started it in 1985 when I was in 10th grade. And the reason he started the camp was because on his first basketball team, five of his 12 teammates had either passed away or were in prison or something before he reached 25.
Man.
And from that, he wanted to make a difference and start a camp. And we did a camp. We did the camp 25 years in Greensboro, and we've now gone into our 12th year here in Charlotte. It's called Achievements Unlimited, and we've seen over 10,000 kids over the course of those years come through his camp. And he's had a lot of good achievements, being the president of Hornets and a bunch of other stuff. But his greatest achievement was this camp that he literally started in 1985 to give back to young kids. And at the end of the day, that's truly what it's all about, is giving back to others.
That is truly, truly it, giving back to others. And I've had a pleasure having this man on, Charles Whitfield, joining me here 25 years in the sports and business in the music industry. I'm celebrating this August my 25th year in broadcasting. I really feel it was destined.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. I really feel it was destined for us to connect. This is Charles Whitfield.
Absolutely.
Tell everybody where they can find you, my friend.
You can find me on social media, on Instagram at CharlesW10, on Twitter, Charles2323, and on Facebook at Charles Whitfield. So once again, Instagram at CharlesW10, Facebook Charles Whitfield, and on Twitter at Charles2323.
And, of course, anybody who knows basketball knows who originated the number 23. Thanks a lot, my friend. I really, really
so
appreciate
much.
It.
Thank you so much for having me. And anytime you need me, just reach out, and I'd be glad to jump on again.
The proceeding has been a presentation of Snowman Digital Media. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown.
One second remaining in the regular season, possibly. Up to Kobe.
What a way to finish! Are you kidding me?
Curry comes to the ball, goes to the corner, catches, works up contest, fadeaway three, short, rebound space. Curry in the corner, shoots, on the way, got it! He hit it!
They get it to Fisher.
He scores! Eric Fisher scores! And the buzzer!
It goes to Bird. Bird up fake. Bird takes the shot. It goes!
All right, it's win or lose. Game six for the Bulls. 10 seconds. And with it, of course, the championship. Jordan, 20-footer, head of the key, good! Chicago by one, and the Utah Jazz take time. Michael Jordan from the top of the key to put the Bulls up 87-86.
For more information, log on to snowmandigitalmedia.com.